Great. Thanks, Hugh. Thanks, everybody who's been sharing this morning some great stories of God's goodness and kindness. Aren't you glad God's on your side? Yes. Come on. This time yesterday, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to be sharing, and then I got inspired when I was here. So a few of us here were just, because every week there's been work going on, and to get ready for Sunday morning needs a bit of work on the Saturday morning, so that's great. Thank you for everybody who's been helping out with that. And I got a bit inspired yesterday morning, and hopefully you'll see why in a moment. But I want to speak about footprints, making footprints. And if you were here yesterday morning or any Saturday morning prior to the Sunday morning, you'll know there's always footprints all over the floor. There's lots of dust. And this red carpet, we've been blessed by it. We've been given it. It's a great color, though, to keep clean. But there we go. That's another story. How many of you know that the world is bonkers? I look at my TV news and on the internet news, and I think the world is going nuts. Political correctness gone absolutely balmy. There was something flying about on Facebook the other day. I didn't see it, but there was obviously some item in daytime television that said this. What is the world coming to? Now, obviously, there's some backstory to that. I don't know all the details, but there was a lot of raving about it on Facebook, that's for sure. And Hugh started off this morning saying, you know, we're living in a very negative world, aren't we? And I think as God's people, we've got something to contribute and to make an influence for good and change the culture with God's help, yeah? Well, thank all three of you. Is there anybody here who would like to make a difference in the world that you live? Have a bit of influence. Put some footprints down that people know you've been there. You know, when you walk down the beach and nobody's been there, you look around and you can see where you've walked. Somebody knows you've been there. Or do you just want to drift through life? I don't want to just drift through life. I want to make a difference. And the last 3 weeks, we've had people hearing, clearing up and getting ready for Sunday mornings. But prior to that and throughout the last sort of 7 or 8 weeks or so, we've had people making an incredible difference. And a huge thank you for all those people who've made the dust. Seriously. Huge thank you for all those people who've made the dust and made this happen. But if you've got your Bibles, I want to take some lessons today from the life of Noah. And if you've got your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll read a few verses from that chapter. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 5. And it says, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he'd made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Aren't you glad about the favor of God? And it says, this is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God. Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it, coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. In other words, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Or if you're metric, 135 meters, 23 meters, 14 meters. This ceiling is 8.7 meters, just to give you an idea. All right? Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening of about 1 cubit, about 18 inches, 45 centimeters. I guess that was to let a bit of a draft in. Can you imagine all those animals and the pong if they didn't put a vent in? God thinks of it all. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower and middle and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground. They'll come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. That's a lot of food. Do you ever think about the logistics of these things? I mean, we're going on a family holiday tomorrow, myself, Anne-Marie, our kids and grandkids, and, you know, there's, how many of us are there? About 11, 10 of us. And it's self-catering. And they're all putting the can we take this food-wise? Can we take... I think our car is going to be jammed with food. And that's just for 5 days. Can you imagine stocking up for this lot? Does anybody think like that? It's just... But then it says, verse 22, Noah did everything just as God had commanded him. What a great commendation to know that Noah did everything just as God commanded him. But a couple of points from that passage. Verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness had become. And God says, I'll wipe man out. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Why was that? You know, in this world in which we live, where you look at our news screens now and you think, actually, evil is rife, isn't it, around the world? Similarly, in many ways, to what was happening in Noah's day. And I wonder, in this bonkers world in which we live, if there are some people who will find favor in the eyes of the Lord. Because they're the people that God wants to bless and use and be instrumental in bringing change. And it says, Noah, verse 9, was righteous, blameless, and he walked with God. Righteous, blameless, and walked with God. How many of us know that we have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ? Not of our own doing, but through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross at Calvary, that we might come into right relationship with God. Paul says in Romans 3, well-known passage, and then in Romans 6, this righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. For every one of us, all who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and those standards of God, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is the greatest gift that you and I can receive. Transformative, not only now, but for eternity. How many of you are glad about that? So we are righteous. We've been made righteous. Just as Noah was accredited as being righteous, so you, if you know Jesus Christ, if you've asked him into your heart and life, if your sins have been forgiven, my Bible says you're righteous. That's a great start. Great start. But then it says, Noah lived blamelessly. Whoa. Great to hear Kirsten's testimony and vindication at work. And that's great. But to live blamelessly, that's quite something, isn't it? The Apostle Peter wrote these words in 2 Peter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought we to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. And that's the challenge of Scripture for each one of us today. You know, we've been made holy, God says. Now live like it. Now live like it. And that's a challenge for each one of us, isn't it? And here's the great news, that God, by his Spirit, wants to help us to do that. Because I'm quite frail in terms of humanity, you know, and my ability to do certain things. But with God's help, things change. And God helps me to live a life. Am I perfect? Anne-Marie will tell you. My kids will tell you. Dad, you're not. Don't worry. If you've got kids, they'll tell you as well. But there's a challenge on our lives in this world in which we live, in this bonkers world, to live right and humbly before our God. God is calling us to walk with him. Micah chapter 6, Old Testament, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. To act justly and love mercy. Lawrence Neeson, when he was here the other day, he made this statement. He said, our cities will be transformed by Christian hospitality before they are transformed by sermons. How many of you know that's true? That's a real encouragement for preachers. But it's absolutely true. It's what we're doing the other 167 hours of the week. What's our lives about as individuals, as church? You know, and it's great that we celebrate and you know, we've got the CAP project, we've got care projects, we've got all sorts of things that we're tapping into across this area that showing and demonstrating that sense of justice and love and mercy to this world in which we live. And we do that corporately together. But yeah, each one of us has got responsibility, haven't we, to show love and mercy to those around us, the world in which we live. To walk humbly with God, knowing without him, I'm going to struggle, but with him, all things are possible. That's the total transformation. And that's for every single person here. In Noah's day, the whole of creation was facing obliteration. Do you know God is still the same? He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Yeah? Did you know that God is still capable of wiping out the world completely if he wants to? I think sometimes we forget how big, awesome, and massive and powerful God is. You know, when God created the earth, and you read it, Genesis 1:1, and he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then verse 3, God says, let there be light, and there was light. You know, it's staggering that when you analyze it, and you suddenly realize that light is not just a simple thing like it shines through the window. But light travels at 186,000 miles per second, or 670 million miles an hour. And God's done that. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day and night, the sun and the moon. You know, and for light to travel from the moon to Earth takes 1.25 seconds. He also made the stars. Our nearest star is the sun. And the Earth to the sun, light takes 8 minutes, 28 seconds. 20 seconds. And we're just part of something called the Milky Way galaxy, or sometimes just called, we call it our galaxy. The solar system is part of it. And it's 100 million light years across. And the number of stars are estimated in that whole system to be between 200 and 4 billion. 200 billion to 400 billion. There is a guy in NASA sat down trying to add them up. I don't know. How did they come? It's somewhere between 200 and 400 billion. That's very broad numbers, isn't it? And our galaxy, apparently, is just one of many galaxies. This is the God we serve. This is the God who says, I'm for you, I'm with you, I'm right beside you, I'm the one who's there for you. In the light of this big and awesome God, wow, what a privilege, what an amazing thing to recognize he loves you and he loves me. Sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. This awesome God who has the power to do immense, amazing things. My response to that, to his love, is, Lord, I want to lead a blameless life. I want to walk with God. You know, when we walk with, when you commit, not only you'll have to go, but you commit to walk with God, he'll call you to do some big things sometimes. We serve a big God, and sometimes he'll call you to do some big things. Have you ever been scared about what God may be calling you to? Some of you have, some of you not so sure. I tell you what, there are times when I've lost a few nights sleep. Wondered how it was all going to pan out. Lord, is this really you, or did I have too much cheese on the pizza last night? Seriously, this just seems a bit out there. What is God calling us to? It was interesting, some time ago, Rachel Hickson came to Grimsby and spoke for us, and she shared some things prophetically about making footprints in the land. And I was reminded of this as I was sort of pondering this sort of subject this morning. And she said, I really believe that as a church, God's calling you to make some footprints in the land, to make a difference. And she said, we're living in a season of an enlargement and acceleration where God will stretch and enlarge and birth things. God is disturbing comfort zones. There is a bigger picture. You know, comfort zones. We all get comfortable. You know, we were in Lyle Marsden for almost 8 years. It was very comfortable. It was a bit of hard work, lifting and shifting all the gear in and out every week. But in the main, it was pretty good, wasn't it? And then we came here. And my goodness, 3 weeks into the ownership, I'm thinking, good night. There was, every time we endeavored to do a job, and he'll tell you, it seemed like none of them were quite as straightforward as we hoped, dreamed, or imagined. There was all, you know, we always found something else, you know. We get the electricians in to do their surveys, and they go, oh dear. And then they get Northern Power Grid in and go, oh no, we're going to condemn that. New three-phase supply from the main road into the building. And I said, how much is that going to cost? Oh, no, it's not your problem. It's our problem. Oh, lovely. The next day, was it 7 vans were on site from Northern Power Grid plus a digger? And the digger had come from Leeds. I mean, how much it must have cost? But, you know, there are times when you think, oh, my goodness. About 3 weeks ago, we've been in here 3 Sundays. So, like, a fortnight ago was our first Sunday. About 3 weeks ago, in that green patch of carpet there, there was a massive pile of rubbish. Some of you have seen pictures on Facebook, and you think, and I said to Andy, should we push the date back a bit? We came up with the 12th of November, didn't we, as a bit of a, that's the target. And I'm thinking, I don't know whether we're going to do this. And sometimes you just push out your comfort zone a bit. And the PA guys come and say, do you know, if we're going to do this, let's do this properly. Can we do this, this, and the other? I'll tell you what, the amount of time and energy and stuff that's gone in, and it's pushed us out of our comfort zones. There are things going on still today, you know, with the house, and so it's a whole project still, and it's pushing us out of our comfort zone. But I believe it's for a greater purpose, that God wants to establish some things here, to put some footprints down in the right sense of the world into this community in which we live. You know, some of the things Rachel Hickson talked about feet of authority. You know, when God wants to give us a voice to say some things in this area, talks about feet of prophetic influence as well. Feet of inheritance, walking into some things. You know, inheritance, you don't earn inheritance, you walk into it, don't you? And in one sense here, we've walked into something of an inheritance because there's been a Christian presence on this site since the 1950s. And we walk into something and we must never lose sight of that and we must give God thanks for it. But we are the feet of good news as well. Not only to this locality, but to this region. With other churches, it was great to have other churches with us on Tuesday night to celebrate that. And feet of intimacy, knowing that we have this incredible privilege of coming into the presence of God. Let's never lose sight of that. We had a season in the church a while ago now where it seemed God said on a number of occasions, he kept saying, you need to think bigger than you're thinking. Can you remember that? It's 2 or 3 years ago. You need to think bigger than you're thinking. And I better not tell you some of the things that I sense God's saying in that, but because you might just be too scared. But this isn't the end of the story where we are today. God is wanting to do more for his name and for his kingdom and for his glory. There's something of an inheritance that we walk into, but there's something as well that we're going to step into that is prophetic, that God has mandated that we should be a part of. And I can only imagine what went through Noah's mind when God spoke to him. Can you imagine God says to him, I want you to build me an ark. First question, God, what is an ark? It was totally out there. There'd been nothing like this ever built before. And then, Lord, you said you're going to flood the earth. Where's all the water going to come from? I mean, I don't know whether Noah thinks like I do or thought like I do. Then he probably got his bit of paper out or his papyrus and started drafting a bit of a, well, this ark probably looks like this. God's given me the dimensions. It's a bit broad in terms of scope. And probably started, I can imagine, now we're probably saying, actually, no, it's a bit, needs to be bigger than that. It needs three floors. This is how you're going to build it. 450 feet, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And amidst all the questions Noah probably had, he begins to work, and it says Noah did everything just as God commanded him. But then the other thing, where are all the jolly animals going to come from? Lord, how am I going to get two of everything to come into this ark? I mean, anybody got any pets? We have a dog. He's just a year old now. He's called Monty. Some of you, I should have put a picture on screen. But let's be honest. If we let him out in the garden and he don't want to come in, he don't want to come in. And you think I'm joking, but getting him in sometimes can be a real pain in the... Anyway. And Noah's got all these jolly animals to get in an ark. Never been in an ark before, never seen an ark before. How is he going to get them in? Hey, God says, I'm going to cause... Chapter 7, verse 8, pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female. And it says they came to Noah and entered the ark as God commanded Noah. When, do you know, God will complete this, some stuff if we'll begin some stuff. Sometimes we don't know how it's all going to work out and how it's all going to finish and how it's all going to come together. But sometimes all we know is that we've just got to make a step and make a start and do some things. Noah didn't have to go and round up all the animals. Noah probably didn't have all the answers when he began to build the ark. You know, when we came together as City Church, we didn't have all the answers. We just sensed it was the right thing to do in God. Believed that we'd heard from him. And we started to embark on a journey back in 2009. We didn't have all the answers. We didn't have all the answers when we bought this building. And we still don't know probably fully how it's all going to be utilized. But we've begun a journey. And let's believe, as God has been faithful to us so far, that God's going to continue to be faithful in what he's called us to. Noah believed he'd heard from God, began to work on what God had called him to do. And do you know the timing of God's interesting? I was making this comment with Paul the other day. Here we are in this place now, and it's still a work in progress. We've still got a scaffolding tower up. We're still building toilets. But do you know, I said to Paul, if this had come available 2 years ago, I don't think we could have pulled it off. Now you're looking at me, because we've been looking at buildings for a while. But there are people available today who've been on site pretty much every day who weren't available 2 years ago. People who've given, been able because of, you know, been released from work or taken retirement or whatever to do some stuff. God's timing is amazing. And there's some people who are doing an incredible amount of stuff who are still working full time as well. And some people who've given incredibly generously in terms of our offerings, and people who stood with us in prayer amazingly. So there's all different elements to that. But I tell you what, it's been a delight in many ways to see how people have responded, how you have responded to this season in which we're in. And I just want to acknowledge that with every one of you. Sometimes we're called to do some things that are a little bit out there. When we brought City Church together in 2009, that was very countercultural. In this area, churches have been known for church splits. And we were bringing church together. It was very countercultural. It goes against, directly opposed to Satan's plan to kill, steal, and destroy. And we've got to realize that sometimes when we're stepping out and things and taking steps of faith, that sometimes it's not on Satan's hurrah list. Sometimes we enter a bit of a battle zone. When Noah and his family and animals went into the ark, there was this incredible provision of God. And he was now going to protect them. It says in Genesis 7:13 that on the very day Noah and his family entered the ark, they had with them every wild animal according to its kind. And the animals going in, it says in verse 16, were male and female, every living kind. And God, as God commanded Noah, then the Lord shut them in. It's like God said, right, I'm putting this incredible protection on you right now. And they faced floodwaters for 6 months. And verse chapter 8, verse 1 says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. You know, we might have to battle through some stuff every now and again as we journey through what God has called us to as individuals and corporately together. But if we're going to do what God has called us to do, here's the promise. He will provide for us, he will protect us, and he will remember us. That song we sang earlier said, I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. Chapter 8, verse 15, God says to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons and their wives. Bring out every living creature with you. And it says, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number. That was the beginning of a new chapter for humanity and creation indeed. And Rachel Hickson declared over us, you know, you are being upgraded from a town perspective to a region perspective as a church. Stepping into some new things. This was some while ago. You have to be rooted to fruit. And God is bringing you together to raise up an army to put its foot down to make some footprints. I wonder if the musicians can come back. We're going to conclude this. And I just believe God wants to remind us today that first, we've been made righteous. Don't let the devil put anything on you. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, then you are a new creature. The old has gone. The new has come. You are part of his family. But he is calling us to live blameless lives. And that's a challenge for each one of us. And he's calling us to walk humbly with him. And I also want to remind us that we serve this amazing God, huge God. And really without him, we're going to struggle. But when we walk with God, this big God, who calls us to do big things, we've got to remember that with him, all things are possible. And if we will be willing to begin something, he's going to help us complete it. Yeah? Why don't we stand? I'm going to pray. And maybe today, you know, you're not sure about this righteousness for yourself. Actually, I've never come to that point of asking Jesus to forgive me, that I can be right in right relationship with him. Well, right here, right now, there's a moment where you can just ask and say, Lord, would you come, forgive me of the sin in my life and make me a brand new person from today. Let this be a new chapter from this day on. And I wonder, just in your own prayer right now, if anybody wants to pray that, why don't you pray? Why don't you just ask God in your own words, just in this moment, if there's any sin in your life, to ask him to forgive you of sin. And having done that, to invite him into your life, to be Lord of your life from this day forward, to help you journey through incredible opportunities that are going to be before you as God's child. To be all that you can be with his help. You know, if we pray those sorts of prayers sincerely, God hears and responds from heaven, and our lives are never the same again. If you prayed a prayer like that, I'd love to chat with you afterwards and pray with you, so please come seek me out. I'll be down the front here. But also, for each one of us, Lord, help us to lead blameless lives. Who's up for that? Lord, I want to lead a blameless life. I want to walk humbly with you. I want to be someone who lives according to your purposes. And I just want to commit to walk with you. Is anybody here just saying, Lord, I want to commit again to walk with you. And with you, I can be all you want me to be. And I can do all you want me to do. Even though I might not have answers for everything today, my confidence is this, that you're faithful to your promises. They are yes and amen. Yeah. If that's the sort of prayer that you're saying today, why don't you just lift your hands with me and I'm going to pray over us all. Father God, we thank you today for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, that you love us so much that you give us this position of being children of the living God, heirs of God, where we can walk with a confidence and not an arrogance, a confidence knowing that you are with us, that you've called us to some amazing things because you're an amazing God who wants to do amazing things in our world through us, your people. And we pray today, Lord, for a growing confidence in who we are in you, that we can put some feet down and make some footprints in our world that will bring honor and glory to you, that we'll see some of the ridiculous things that happen in our world challenged, cultures changed, for the glory and honor of your name, we pray. Amen.